You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 3rd. On Monday, John McCain's presidential campaign released a statement from his vice presidential running mate, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, and her husband, announcing that their unmarried 17-year-old daughter, Bristol, was pregnant. 5 months pregnant, and that she would keep the baby and marry the baby's father. Story over? Well, not quite. We're going to talk about the issues that have come up since that statement has been released by the McCain campaign. The media is abuzz with the news that this 17-year-old is pregnant, bringing up questions of whether John McCain had a proper vetting process of his vice presidential candidate. Barack Obama said that reporters should back off this story and that family and especially the kids of candidates are off limits. We wonder what's fair game and what's not when it comes to media coverage in a political campaign, and we welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Jane Kirtley, a professor of media ethics and media law at the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Minnesota. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, is this fair game, looking into the pregnancy of an unmarried 17-year-old daughter of a vice presidential candidate?
Well, I think we have to put this in context. As a general proposition, I think for quite a number of years now, the news media have taken the position that issues involving particularly the minor children of even sitting presidents and candidates is pretty much off limits. It's not the sort of thing that we would devote a lot of time or attention to. But I think there are a couple of significant differences in this particular situation. Number one, for better or for worse, the McCain campaign announced this. It, mm-hmm. As you said in your introduction, they held the press conference. They made the announcement. It's no longer a private piece of information. It's public information. Number two, I think that if we look at this in the context of this particular vice presidential candidate's political positions, we can see that it does raise questions about sort of her personal philosophy, her personal policies for herself and her family, and the policies that she would like to impose upon the rest of the country. And so for that reason, I think that inquiring into that in that way is absolutely valid.
Yeah. It is said that the campaign released this statement to put to rest rumors that were being floated in the blogosphere, liberal blogs claiming that the Down syndrome baby that Governor Palin had was really that of her daughter's.
Absolutely, that has been the position that the McCain campaign has taken, and it's certainly true that those rumors were floating around on the internet. And I think, it isn't the first time that a candidate for political office has been the victim of internet rumor mongering from either the left or the right. Of course, in this particular case, we're dealing with a situation that, frankly, would have been very difficult to conceal. And I understand from some of the reading that I've done that media in Alaska were already aware of the fact that Sarah Palin's daughter was pregnant. I guess my point in saying that is that apparently, for whatever reason, the media in Alaska didn't necessarily think it was particularly remarkable, and it was not widely reported or even reported at all in the mainstream media in Alaska. But as you point out, the fact that the blogosphere got going with this other rumor, clearly did make the McCain campaign think that they had to deal with it directly.
Yeah. Well, what is your take of the media coverage so far of this particular story? Are the media attacking Sarah Palin? Are the media going after one of her children?
Well, I guess attack is obviously a word that is very much in the eye or the ear of the beholder. I think it's absolutely appropriate for the news media to ask questions. Asking questions is what journalists do. And to the extent that questions are asked that are relevant to Sarah Palin's political philosophy, seems to me it's perfectly reasonable to be asking those questions. I have not seen any examples, and perhaps some of your callers have, but I have not, of any attempts by the media to actually speak to Bristol Palin, the daughter. And I understand that the news media really have not had any opportunities to talk to Sarah Palin herself. So there's a lot of speculation going on. There is a lot of punditry connected to all of this, but it seems to me that this is a story that is absolutely legitimate to pursue.
Yeah. It seems to me that it is raising more questions in the media regarding the vetting process than the actual pregnancy of the daughter.
Well, I think a lot of what this, a theme, I guess I would say, of some of the coverage I've seen has been judgment, the judgment of John McCain in choosing Sarah Palin as his running mate with what at least appears to be inadequate vetting. There's been a lot of comments coming out of the McCain campaign. I saw one earlier today that said that the New York Times story that suggested that Sarah Palin had been subjected to very minimal vetting was complete fiction. And I'm sure it'll be a while before it's all sorted out and we know exactly what occurred. But I think when I say judgment, I really do have to ask the question of whether, assuming that indeed Senator McCain did know all about this when he made his selection, was he not aware that it was likely to spark this kind of a reaction? Again, given the political positions that his running mate has taken to date.
Well, we know Barack Obama says kids should be off limit. You say usually minor children are off limits. But what about when Barack Obama says the family members of candidates are off limits? Is he right there? He didn't like it when his wife was scrutinized for her comments.
Well, I mean, I would say this, that perhaps in an ideal world we could say that the family members are off limits, but my ideal world would also include an undertaking by the candidates that they would not proffer their family members, the fact that they are parents, the fact that they are grandparents, the fact that they are the offspring of a teenage mother, whatever it is. If they would not use that as one of their qualifications to get my vote, then I'd be more prepared to say, you know, you're right. What your family does among itself is really none of my business. But the fact of the matter is that for at least the last 30 years, candidates have been bringing forth the fact that they're parents, the fact that they came from an underprivileged background, the fact that they came from a privileged background, whatever it is, they're saying, my background, my family, this is relevant. This is, many people say, this is a character issue. Look at me as the living embodiment of the values that I espouse and that I wish in many cases to impose upon the rest of the country. Once you start doing that, you are opening yourself up to, I think, that kind of examination, and I think it is appropriate.
Yeah. Appropriate for some of the Democratic candidates back in the 2004 election, John Kerry and others raising the issue that Dick Cheney's daughter was lesbian.
I have a slightly different view on that for a couple of reasons. Number one, Vice President Cheney's daughter was an adult, emancipated at that point, and I think, frankly, to suggest that the way Vice President Cheney deals or doesn't deal with his adult daughter is probably of less significance in terms of his fitness for office or his ability to do his job. The other difference I think I would draw, and this I don't feel quite as strongly about, is that as a member of the executive branch as opposed to the legislature, he probably has less direct opportunity to deal with regulations and laws that would directly affect members of various minority groups, sexual orientations, and so forth. So for me, the connection is not as clear as what we're seeing with the Sarah Palin situation. But I recognize that reasonable people could differ. For me, it just doesn't have the same degree of relevance.
Yeah. What about the twin daughters of President Bush? I believe they were underage drinkers and caught in bars underage. drinking.
And they were, and of course there was also the incident involving Vice President Gore's son, who I believe was arrested on various charges. And, you know, I guess where I come down on that is that to a great extent, again, unless the elected official is out there preaching on a particular issue, I'm more inclined to say that whatever they're dealing with their teenagers is probably not of compelling public interest. I would also say that for the most part, news organizations, if they were looking at a teenager who had been arrested for drinking underage or something, that would not be a news story under most circumstances. And so I think you have to apply that acid test. Would you normally report this were it not for the fact that this was the child of a president or the child of a celebrity or something like that? And if the answer is you wouldn't, then I think you have to come up with a pretty good justification for deviating from that rule.
We have lots of callers, but I did receive an email this morning before we even went on the air who wanted to know, you know, he thought the media were overdoing this pregnancy story, and said, how come the media aren't going after the fact that Barack Obama has step-siblings and doesn't have a close relationship with step-siblings in other parts of the world?
Well,
is it comparable?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that it is comparable, but I guess whenever I hear a question like this, my immediate reaction is, how do you know that? And the reason you know that is because someone in the news media has been reporting it. So, I mean, going after, attack, I mean, these are very loaded words, and obviously one person's attack is another person's diligent journalism. But I think it has been reported. It is being covered. And again, I would make the point I made at the outset, which is that I think that Sarah Palin, the McCain campaign, put this issue on the table. They chose to do that. They may have felt they had no option, but that is what they chose to do. I would also suggest to them, not that they need suggestions from me, that if they were to make Sarah Palin available for interviews, it's quite possible that the attention would shift to more substantive policy discussions, but she has not been available for media interviews as yet.
Our guest is Jane Kirtley, professor of media ethics and media law in the Journalism School at the University of Minnesota, talking with us about what is fair game and what is not when it comes to media coverage of political campaigns, and in particular, whether the family members or children of candidates really ought to be completely off limits. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. Our lines are full for the moment, but you can send us an email. talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 9 o'clock, it's the On Point call-in, live call-in from the Republican National Convention. After 10, Kathleen Dunn and her guests will examine and analyze the speeches we heard last night at the RNC. That's coming up here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about media coverage of the campaign with Jane Kirtley, professor of media ethics and media law in the Journalism School at the University of Minnesota. Jan in Reedsburg is with us first. Hi, you're on the air.
I don't know that it's necessarily fair that they talk about this, but as your guest said very wisely, they brought it up. They, you know, whether it be because of the blogs, they brought it up. And I think that one thing that bothers me as a mother of a daughter who, a teenage daughter that had a child, they are seemed so proud of the fact that her daughter and the guy is getting married. I don't know. I didn't encourage it, and eventually, they had a big falling out, and he is a part of the baby's life. But to say a 17-year-old should necessarily get married, I don't agree with that. And furthermore, to me, I just, it feels like she's being a hypocrite. She's preaching abstinence, and her daughter is pregnant. So maybe that makes me outdated or whatever, but that's the way I feel, and I do totally agree with your guest. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling, Jan. Professor Kirtley, that issue of I guess, the hypocrite issue?
Well, you know, I think hypocrisy is always the word that is going to be raised in a situation like this. And there are times when that word is probably unfair. My own view, based on what we know now, is that it's not unfair necessarily in this case if what we're dealing with is a candidate for office who has espoused a position, number one, that abortion is forbidden unless you're going to save the life of the mother, and yet she's been speaking of her daughter's choice, which is a choice that apparently she would deny to other people if she had her way. That's, you know, a fair topic for discussion. And I think one thing that always concerns people, and this applies whether you're talking about Republicans or Democrats, and I really want to emphasize that, is that a politician espouses a particular point of view, but when it comes down to that politician's personal life or own family members or own inner circle, there's always an exception. There's always a justification why a deviation from that it would be okay. Now, in this case, I have to say that in Sarah Palin appears to be following, at least as far as her daughter's pregnancy is concerned, what she's practicing what she preaches. She opposes abortion. Her daughter's not mm-hmm. getting an abortion. She's encouraging or compelling, I don't know what it is, her daughter to marry at age 17 rather than to be an unwed mother. That's not hypocrisy as I see it, but I think the issue of abstinence-only education, the fact that Sarah Palin has urged that as public policy, at least, at the very least, this does seem to suggest that that policy, at least as far as her own daughter was concerned, did not succeed.
Yeah. Well, you know, Professor Kirtley, some of these blogs are still questioning who is the mother and the father of the youngest Palin infant, the little boy who has Down syndrome. What is that? Is that something the mainstream media should be picking up on and trying to pursue this story that started in the blogosphere?
You know, I think there's no question that there have been examples of people working in the blogosphere who have uncovered issues that are absolutely relevant and important for people to know about. I don't know what the basis of these particular bloggers, what basis that they have for the allegations that they're making. I've been reading mm-hmm. some of the stories, but I'm still not clear in my own mind whether this is just totally spurious or whether there is some basis for it. What we're seeing as a consequence, though, is that because the story is out there, journalists from a variety of media, including legacy media, I understand, are now doing things like suggesting that Sarah Palin should produce the birth certificate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, under normal circumstances, of course, we certainly wouldn't be demanding that sort of thing. It's a difficult question to answer, and I think it's always the challenge for the so-called legacy media to try to decide whether they're going to chase a story based on a rumor that appears in media that are not mainstream. But, you know, the whole John Edwards issue mm-hmm. about John Edwards and his extramarital affair emerged originally from the National Enquirer, not considered in most people's minds part of the mainstream media. The reality is sometimes these unconventional sources do get the story before everybody else does. And so in and of itself, I would not say just because it appeared in the blogosphere first means that the media, the general media, should not be pursuing it. But I think that there does have to be a point at which you satisfy yourself that it is purely rumor and you let it go.
Chris in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. Interesting comments and love listening to NPR in the morning. The one thing I guess I do more lean with Barack Obama's opinion and point of view on this is that we spend so much time talking about this one issue about her, and yet we aren't thinking about some of the other things that are going on out there, some of her opinions about being conservative, about the other things that she stands for. And the other thing that my wife brought up that I think makes total sense that we haven't talked about either is she's got a 5-month-old little one at home who's virtually not going to see mom very often for the first several years of its life. How does that impact us? And I guess I'd like to hear more about that. And then secondly, you know, you mentioned John Edwards and how, you know, everybody was talking about that beforehand. I guess in some respects, I'd like to just stick to and hear more about who these people are, not so much in their personal life, but what do they really stand for and what have they done? And I don't think Sarah Paulin or Governor Paulin has done a whole lot.
Professor Kirtley?
Well, as I said before, and I'll just repeat it, yeah. I think that part of the reason that this particular story has gone on and on and on is because Sarah Palin has not herself chosen to have a press conference or make herself available to the news media so that other issues could be explored. I'm sure, I can't speak for her, but I would think she's probably anticipating that the focus would be on her daughter and on her baby, as the caller just suggested, because even before the story broke about Bristol Palin, there was already comments along the lines of your callers about whether the mother of a five-month-old special needs child should be undertaking something as demanding as running for the vice presidency and perhaps ascending to that office. I think that that's a fair question, and in fact, I would say it's an important question that ought to be explored by both the right and the left, because it's interesting to me how many conservatives, social conservatives, who have taken the position in the past that a mother in Sarah Palin's position ought to be staying home, seem to now be cheering her on. Some of us would regard that, at least in isolation, as a positive development. But on the other hand, I don't think it negates the fact that reasonable people could ask the question about whether this is the wisest decision. So I think it's a fair discussion. But I would also agree with the caller that there are many other issues that are also important. Sarah Palin's policy on energy, for example, is surely important. And when we talk about her expertise or lack thereof, if she has any expertise, it must surely lie in the energy field. And I think we ought to know more about what her policies are, her policies on environmentalism, for example. Some of the questions about the propriety of the way she has used her office in terms of determining who's going to be hired and fired in Alaska. Again, nothing new about that, nothing novel about that, but always a question that should be asked. So I think these are all relevant questions, and it would be nice to see at least equal attention paid to them, I would agree. But until she puts herself out for that kind of questioning, basically we're dealing with secondary sources, which is not terribly satisfying, but there it is.
Thank you, Chris, for the call. Scott in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I guess I take a different position. I find the coverage abhorrent about this. I mean, she was nominated four and a half days ago, and it is wall-to-wall coverage about her 17-year-old daughter. I find it sick, is what I find it. There are so many more relevant things. The only reason this is getting the coverage it is because she's a Republican candidate. If we learned anything during Clinton, it was supposedly that what a person does in their private life shouldn't have anything bearing to do on their public life. That's all we heard from the media for years. And now we're going to just cover this poor 17-year-old girl nonstop. And it is everywhere. I mean, Wisconsin Public Radio is doing an hour show on this. This is literally insane. I find this just disgusting.
All right, Scott, I'm gonna have to defend. We're not just focusing on this pregnancy, but talking about it.
It's been 33 minutes, and that's all that's been talked about.
I thought we talked about a lot of other family members of other candidates, but we're talking about the media coverage of it, Scott, and what's fair and what's not. Professor Kirtley, this is happening because Sarah Palin is a Republican.
I think that that's just such a bizarre statement, and I've heard it from many sources. I've also heard many people speculate that, you know, if Obama's daughters were old enough to have reached puberty, and if one of them were pregnant, would we assume that the Republicans or those on the right would remain silent? I think history would tell us that that would not be the case. That's not necessarily to say that the degree of attention that this is getting is appropriate. And again, I can only say it one more time. If Sarah Palin were being made available to the media so that she could be asked questions about other policy issues, I suspect we could move on from this much more quickly. But at the moment, there's a vacuum. Now, maybe after she gives her speech tonight, that mm-hmm. will change. But at the moment, other than pursuing sort of her record, which I think is absolutely appropriate to do, the thing that the Republicans themselves have put front and center is this particular issue.
Yeah, Scott, are you still there?
Yeah, Republicans haven't put this issue front and center. The press has put it front and center.
Excuse me, Scott, I have to remind you, yeah. It was the announcement from McCain's campaign that started this whole thing. The media did not do the initial reporting.
The information was being leaked out. They tried to get in front of it.
Yeah, Scott, we covered this territory. We covered this territory already. So what is the lesson you think we should have learned from the Clinton presidency?
I'm just saying all we heard in the press was that his private life has no bearing on his public life. I mean, that's what we heard over and over again. And
I don't know what your sources were. Mm-hmm. When I was in Washington in the late 1990s, all I heard was the issue of Clinton's character, the question of the propriety of his conduct mm-hmm. in the White House, whether perjuring himself meant that he was unqualified to be president.
Mm-hmm.
You and I obviously were not listening to the same news sources because I heard plenty of questions about whether president's private life was indicative of his character and therefore his fitness for office.
Yeah, and those same questions were brought up during the recent coverage of John Edwards and his affair that he admitted to.
Absolutely. And again, I think it's fair to ask the question, and mm-hmm. I think our friends in Europe sometimes ask this question, which is, why are you Americans so obsessed with politicians' private lives? What does that have to do with their fitness for office? And I think it's an absolutely fair question. My answer to it is, as long as they run on character as one of their qualifications, then it's a relevant issue.
Sandra and Racine is with us now. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Well, I'm of the opinion that the news media did not announce this pregnancy either, and I think children should be off limits. However, Sarah herself, the Republicans say we shouldn't ask, can she run for this office and raise her family, because we don't ask this of men. While most men and other women who have run for this office of president, vice president, have not had infants. I'm a mother and a grandmother, and I felt like I could not devote enough time to my much lesser pressure job when I had an infant, and I had to stop working. Not that it was easy, and maybe she has nanny care and everything, but there is a bond between a mother and an infant, especially if it's a nursing mother, and I cannot perceive of anyone being as busy as a vice president would be and have an infant unless she is not going to care for that infant herself.
Well, we're moving on to a different question, but fair game, Professor Kirtley?
I think it's certainly a question mm-hmm. that, as your caller has suggested, some people want to ask, and mm-hmm. I would be interested to hear Sarah Palin's answer. I mean, I think the way she has conducted herself in Alaska has been that she's had a crib in her office and that she breastfeeds her baby in her office discreetly, and many people would say that that's just terrific. I guess the question I would ask, going back to policy, is, well, then, do you support mandates that will require employers all over the country to provide those kinds of accommodation for nursing mothers? Do you think that that should be something that the government should require? You have that. Obviously, you think it's important. Shouldn't every woman have that? That's the question. That's the way I would frame the question, and I think that's absolutely relevant to what Sarah Palin stands for as a candidate.
Thank you, Sandra. Wendy in Chippewa Falls is with us now. Good morning.
Hi, how are you? I just want to let you know I'm actually from Minneapolis, but I visit my grand folks in Chippewa every week, and I've fallen in love with Wisconsin Public Radio, so thank
good.
You.
Thank you.
I've been watching really closely ever since Rush Limbaugh started doing his show. I worked in the media myself for 30 years, and especially during the Bush administration, and it's probably the Karl Rove effect, there's been this distraction technique, and I have this gut reaction to what I'm watching about this Sarah Palin and her daughter issue over the weekend with my grand folks watching CNN, and it's like every 5 minutes they would repeat this headline, Sarah Palin's teenage daughter is pregnant out of wedlock, and it's distracting people from the serious issues. Sarah Palin was for many years involved in an organization, a commission, and I don't know the exact name of it, but it had to do with why aren't we really investigating it? There is a corruption investigation of Sarah Palin going on in Alaska right now. And all these issues came up, and suddenly they blurted out the news about her daughter being pregnant. And the truth is, if they wanted to shut people up from gossiping about her daughter, all she had to do is put out Trigg's birth certificate and say, see, this is my son. Now drop it. My family's off limits. But they didn't. Instead of just saying, here's the birth certificate. Trigg's really my son. Now, please leave my family and my children alone. Our family business is private. your business. Yeah. They didn't. They created this enormous frenzy. And my biggest concern is that all of the media all around that's talking about Sarah Palin's daughter could result in a backlash of sympathy and support. You know, oh, this poor woman, she's so embattled and she's just trying to stand by her family. So just looking at it from kind of a public relations and marketing standpoint, this could actually be a bonanza for them.
Thank you, Wendy. Professor Kirtley?
Well, I think it is fascinating to see how something that most of us would assume that social conservatives would find to be at least something that should be questioned, which is a 17-year-old becoming pregnant out of wedlock and contemplating marriage and so forth, that this has suddenly been lionized as a celebration of life. And I think I'm not taking a position on it one way or another. I'm simply observing that it does seem to suggest an about-face from some of the social conservatives in this country. That, to me, is news, and that is very interesting. Whether it's pure public relations or whether it's a genuine change of heart, that I don't know. But I would absolutely agree that it is not the beginning and end of the kind of inquiry that we all should be engaging in about Sarah Palin and her qualifications and her positions and what she believes in and what she would like to see put into place as policy in this country. I mean, the issue of whether she was a member of the Alaska Independence Party is still apparently very much a matter of debate. Mm-hmm. Some in the McCain campaign have been denying it. There seems to be evidence that, in fact, she is or was. To me, that's an interesting question, whether someone that was seeking secession for her state really wants to be vice president of the United States, if that's true. I don't know. I would like to know the answer to that, as well as the more substantive issues on environment, on energy, and so forth. So I hope Sarah Palin will make herself available for the kind of probing questions that your callers are asking the media to do.
We're talking about how the media are covering Sarah Palin and all the stories surrounding her and her family. Also talking about past political campaigns as well and wondering what's fair game in a political campaign and what's not. Are the family members, are the children of candidates off limits? We welcome your thoughts, your questions. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned for the On Point live call-in from the Republican National Convention coming up after 9 o'clock. Kathleen Dunn will be in with her guest talking as well about what we've been hearing lately at the Republican National Convention and what Sarah Palin is likely to say tonight. Pat in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Pat. You're on the air.
Yes. Your guest made a very, very interesting comment a little bit earlier, and I would just like her to expound on it if she could. She said if you're a candidate running on character, that these kind of issues can be talked about. My question to her would be, which candidate does not run on character, and why is it not all right to ask Michelle Obama about some of her comments about for the first time in her American life, she's been proud to be an American. In 2008, America's a downright mean country. We were not allowed to ask those questions. That was off basis, even though she is a public part of the campaign making public statements.
Yeah. So what's the difference?
Who was not allowed to ask those questions?
Yeah.
I heard those questions asked loud and clear from all political spectra, and I think it's absolutely a fair question. If a candidate for political office is going to bring his wife out as one of his campaigners, and increasingly we are seeing the relatives of family members, particularly spouses, front and center, then absolutely, if they're going to make a statement like that, it's fair game, and I would never suggest that would not be a fair line of inquiry for a voter or for somebody in the news media.
It was Barack Obama who said family members should be off limits. That doesn't mean that they were.
Well, exactly. Hmm. And, again, on one hand, and taking this from a sort of cynical viewpoint, some would point to Barack Obama making the comments he did about family off limits as being, a great rectitude and restraining himself and others from pursuing the Palin family at this point. But on the other hand, let's face it, of course he's speaking in his own self-interest when he says that, because what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, and if you leave her alone, then maybe you'll leave me alone as well. the fact of the matter is that there was a time when, think back maybe 100, 150 years, where candidates for political office did not make their character the central qualification. But increasingly that is the case, and once you choose that road, then I think, and if you're going to trot your family out to speak on your behalf, then you have to be prepared for questions. And before somebody calls in and asks me, I absolutely did not agree that when Chelsea Clinton was out on the stump for her mother that she should have been off limits. Mm-hmm. She's no longer a child. She's an adult. She chose to go out and campaign for her mother, and the notion that no one was allowed to ask Chelsea a question, I thought was absolutely outrageous, and I disagreed with it.
Yeah. She told a couple of questioners to mind their own business, or it was none of their business, about, I don't know, how she dealt with the Monica Lewinsky affair.
Right. You know. And, of course, she has a right to answer the question mm-hmm. that way. I'm not saying that she had to submit to a lie detector test and to respond in any particular way. But to suggest that it was inappropriate for her to be asked questions simply because she's the daughter of the Clintons is just wrong. If they had not chosen to have her as part of the campaign, it might be a different matter. But they did. She was apparently very effective. And asking her questions like that, I think, was appropriate.
William from Rice Lake emails, the national news media has its collective nose bent out of shape because McCain snookered them with a leak-free announcement of Sarah Palin for VP, hence the brutal treatment they are giving her.
Well, that's an interesting theory, and I've seen it a couple of other places. I think certainly it's absolutely true that the pundits were were blindsided by the selection of Sarah Palin, and I think it was a shock to most people that she was chosen. But to suggest that she's getting an unusual amount of attention solely because of that, I think really ignores the fact that, number one, she is virtually unknown outside of her own community, and so obviously would get a lot of attention. The fact that she is the first woman to be put on the Republican ticket is clearly going to attract a lot of attention. And finally, when she makes an announcement, as she did, about her daughter, that too is going to excite attention. But to say that it's not appropriate for her record to be scrutinized, perhaps in more detail than the McCain campaign did, we don't know, I think is just wrong. It's somebody like Joe Biden has been in public office for a very long time. He is well known, but nevertheless, there is reporting going on about him and his family, and that's going to continue. And in my judgment, it does need to continue, because whether we like it or not, or want to think about it or not, whoever is vice president does literally stand as a potential president of the United States. And I think we have a right to be asking these questions.
David in Sussex is with us now. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi. You kind of touched on my point with the Chelsea Clinton story. And there's a larger point to that, because after she was telling people that, leave me alone, that's a private thing, the press actually did, which is amazing to me that they didn't make a big stink out of her not telling more. And the problem with it is this is where the bias comes in, because I believe there is obviously a bias. If you take a look at all the people that give the news in America, you know, over 90% of them vote Democratic. And you've seen, you know, press people bouncing up and down for Obama, you know, I mean, actually openly biased toward the Democratic, you know, National Convention. But you don't see the same the Republican National Convention. And the problem that we have with it, and with the problem that the general public has with that, is it's very one-sided. You've got a situation where, you know, Hillary Clinton, her child Chelsea was given a pass on that. She didn't have the same drumbeat that you're going to see with Palin, because you see Palin's family and you see the public vetting that's going to be going on. They are going to, and I will predict this, they're going to Dan Quayle her in the next couple of months. It's going to be ugly, because they're going to look into every shoebox she has. They're going to look in every closet and every drawer that she has. They're going to find out everything they can about her and make her look as stupid as possible. There's going to be the, who's the president of Dubai? There's going to be all those questions.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be done to make her look like a fool.
What?
And that is not done on Democratic sides at all. Joe Biden calling Barack Obama the first clean black guy running and eloquent, when it should have been like a major front page news.
Boy,
and it wasn't done at all.
I think it was done quite a bit.
I appreciate the caller's, strong feelings here, and I respect them as far as they go, but I think we have to remind ourselves of this. Number one, the way you know about most of this is that somebody in the news media told you. You know, you're not, I assume, close personal friends with these particular politicians. You're finding it out because the news media is reporting it. And whether it's getting the particular prominence or that you're looking for, you know, that's always going to be a matter of taste, and that's why we have a lot of different news organizations from which we can choose, both mainstream, legacy, and new emerging media sources online. And isn't it great that we have all of these choices? But I think, you know, one of the things that is so critical, I think, to all of this is that at least the tradition of the legacy mainstream media has been that we do attempt to actually investigate and verify the truth of rumors before we report them. And some in the blogosphere don't seem to feel that is a step that they need to take. And so, for example, some of the criticism about the time it took for the John Edwards story to come out is, in fact, based on the fact that there were those in the news media who said, well, we've heard rumors about this, but until we actually are able to verify them, we're not going to report it, which I would think is a position that most people in this country would generally say is a good position to take. But increasingly now, what I'm hearing is, no, we want every unsubstantiated rumor to be out there front and center because we want to know about it. Well, you can't have it both ways, folks, and I think ultimately we're going to have to make some choices along the way about what we're expecting the news media to do. Yeah.
And in Wisconsin Public Radio's defense, from the other caller wondering why we were spending a whole hour on this topic, we did an hour when Joe Biden made those comments about the clean, articulate candidate back when he made those comments, too. What about, though, David's general comment that the media fawned over the Democrats during their convention, and that the same thing is not happening during the Republican convention?
Well, you know, I think it's in the eye of the beholder. I have to tell you, I mean, I'm sitting here in Minneapolis, and I've been watching this morning before I came into the office. I was watching our local television coverage of last night's Republican convention. And I think one could, watching that, describe that as fawning. They were talking about the energy. They were talking about the excitement. They were talking about the great reception for the various speakers. I don't know. It looked pretty fawning to me. And it's not ultimately a question of whether they're fawning or not. I think to a great extent you look to have your views reinforced. Different networks are obviously taking different approaches. I think PBS looks a little bit different from the way the cable channels do or the over-the-air broadcasters do. You have a number of choices, but you know, this too shall pass. I mean, the convention is going to be over in another day. The Democratic convention is over now. I'd like to see us moving on to looking at the serious questions and asking the hard questions of the candidates.
Yeah. Bruce in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Well, I think this is a wonderful opportunity for the media to explore it, this issue completely. You have an unknown coming out as a vice president, a potential president, and the Republicans have run on the issues of character and moral values, you know, for the last 25 years, impugning everybody down the path. Yet when there's the slightest question, you hear the hostility of these Republican callers who are acting like they are an aggrieved minority because someone's questioning whether their vice presidential candidate is consistent in her moral outlook with an abstinence program and family planning. And obviously, you know, something is amiss here. Wouldn't you think they would be the paragon of teen pregnancy prevention with an abstinence only program? Why? Obviously, it didn't work. So, you know, and here we are. Oh, we're going to be the compassionate party, the Republicans. We're going to allow this to go on. Everybody has a teen pregnancy in their family. Well, of course, if you have an abstinence-only program, you're going to have a lot of teen pregnancy. So I think that this is truly hilarious on a big scale. God is laughing at us for our foibles. And I think the media is doing the right thing. The media, I would say the media is biased towards the GOP. I don't think they've given Obama a break at all, and I find the perception that the media is overbearing on this issue of examining this woman from Alaska. She's an independent. She truly has gone after her own party in her own state for the corruption there. But there are these other issues of moral values and characters that certainly deserve to be questioned. just as the Clintons were questioned on their private lives.
We get you, Bruce. Perception is reality.
Well, it is. And again, I think the bottom line is that there are other questions here, and we talked about it at the very beginning, but I'll just reiterate it, that I think there's also a question here about John McCain. And to me, that's an important question, too, which is how did he come to choose this person who is a virtual unknown? And how much did he know about her background? How much does he know now, not only about her background, but her policies? What kind of a vice president really would she be? And to the extent that we don't know the answer to those questions, it seems to me that that's an important line of inquiry as well.
Right. And for the record, the other day, yesterday or the day before, McCain did say the vetting process was complete, and the McCain campaign says it knew of the 17-year-old's pregnancy when she was chosen.
That is what they have said. That's right.
Right. Yeah. And you're saying that there might be a little more investigation into that.
I think it's certainly a fair line of inquiry, and even if it is correct, then I think it does raise a question about how someone who's been in politics as long as John McCain has could not have anticipated that this would have been the reaction. And if you're really going to be Machiavellian about it, perhaps this is the reaction he was hoping for, because, as some of the callers have pointed out, it has diverted attention from some other important policy questions.
Mm-hmm. Michael in Luck, hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy, and to your guests. It's a wonderful discussion. It seems to me it all boils down to a simple issue of judgment exhibited on the part of Ms. Palin to choose to have a child at the age which raises the risk, along with the judgment of using her office relative to her brother-in-law, and John McCain. His judgment, as the speaker has been saying, is that to place the country at risk with his judgment of someone who's virtually an unknown, unproven, along with the many other things, he knows little about the economy and so forth. I think we've seen an issue here of, is this the kind of judgment and wisdom we would like to have, given the challenges that we face on the planet?
Yeah, and the issue is judgment, Professor Curtly.
I would only agree.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Do you think after tonight and Sarah Palin gives her acceptance speech that the media coverage on this specific issue is going to go away?
A speech alone is not going to do it, although clearly that will divert attention for a while as whatever she says is dissected and discussed as well it should be. But I think, again, the central question is she going to make herself available for further interviews and further questioning? Because a speech is a one-way event. We need to have a little dialogue going on here, I think, so that we can hear a little bit more that's unscripted from Sarah Palin. At least I would like to see that, and I hope that will be happening.
Well, people do want to talk about this issue, and I want to thank you for being here to do that with us.
It's been a great pleasure. Yeah. Thank you.
Jean Curtly, Professor of Media Ethics and Media Law in the Journalism School at the University of Minnesota. We will have coverage tomorrow morning, probably between 7 and 8, on the Sarah Palin's acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention tonight. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to have Phil Donahue here. He's going to talk about his documentary, Body of War. So, Phil Donahue, my guest tomorrow between 8 and 9. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster and to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.